What's up, Cal family? It's your boy, Rod Benson. I'm back. You didn't hear from me last week after the Oregon weekend. Your boy's been busy, y'all. In fact, I was bombarded with things. To catch you up a little bit, I was so busy with book stuff that I didn't focus on art stuff until a couple weeks ago and come to remember that there was the LA Art Show and then there was Freeze Art Fair, and both were happening with events all over town, and I had to get out there and talk to people about art. It was dope. I actually got some art into the LA Art Show, and that was dope. But it also meant these were Thursday through Sunday events. I didn't get to watch as much as I would have liked. I definitely didn't get to watch live. So I saw, you know, the Oregon State game, and I saw the Stanford game. I didn't see Oregon. So we'll get into those in a second. A couple announcees. I just made up the word announcees. That's horrible. I will be in Vegas. I'm flying in tomorrow, which you'll probably be hearing this tomorrow, which is Tuesday, and staying for as long as Cal wins. So if you're there and you see me, say hi. If you don't know what I look like, I'll be the oldest tall guy there, maybe. Ah, it's a tournament. You know what? I'll just be wearing some blue stuff. You know what? Because I'll be wearing some Cal stuff. That was a dumb bit. But, yes, I will be there. And, yes, say something. If you see something, say something. I'm there. Moving on. The game is at 6 p.m. versus Stanford. And I was like, you know what? Let me focus on that game because we just played them. We're about to play them. To me, it only makes sense that we talk about like what I'm going to look for in that next game and what I saw in this last game. And if you haven't followed me all year, I do try to not OD on losses too hard. Because it's hard, and there's so many reasons why you might lose a game. You know what? I said the Oregon schools. I definitely meant Colorado and Utah. That's funny. Now that you're like, okay, Rod's not a total idiot. The Colorado and the Utah game. But what I was thinking before is those are tough games, right? Like, it's weird because they're kind of – they were added to the Pac-10 to make the Pac-12 in part because – we were just always playing those schools. Like, I think we played Colorado 3 out of my 4 years. And both times we were there, I think, man alive, that was tough. I mean, we played BYU. I don't think we played Utah at Utah. But there were these mountain games that just coming from the West Coast were so much more difficult. And frankly, I think we lost, like, all of them. We beat BYU at BYU my junior year. So I remember that was, like, my coming out game. It was just when I started to realize I could run the floor. And I remember, like, at some point in the game, this is true. I just, like, ran the floor and got, like, an easy layup. And I ran back with my arms out like it was wings. Like, oh, damn. Like, I really took off right there. So we won that game. But, like, Colorado, I remember losing. It's cold. It's not a great place to travel to. Places like that know their advantage. But it still was a game we could have won. The big man. Bro, their big man was like doing work. I got to be honest, especially early. But also, So I had to watch this game because I couldn't see it live. On like the Pac-12 network website or whatever, and I don't know if I just got a glitch or something, but there was no like background sound. So it was just the announcers and the sounds of the game. Holy moly, what a boring way to watch it. I get why they had the background sounds. Further, you could just see how like little energy we had. And without going too deep into Utah, because I didn't see that game. I said Oregon earlier, but I meant to say Utah. I'm going to assume we came out flat there too, plus probably even slightly harder to breathe. I don't even know. So then we roll on to Stanford, and, you know, it, we kind of always start games in this. I mean, I shouldn't say always. We did start with, like, wide point margins, but lately just, like, a little sluggish in a way. And it felt that way at Stanford, too. It felt like there wasn't energy. Now, discredit to Stanford also. How are you going to have the rivalry game and senior night? And, bro, you can't even sell out your arena? Like, it was weird to start the game and see, like, a peppering of Cal and then some chairs and then, like, obviously mostly Stanford fans. But what are we talking about? I said this the last time we talked about Stanford, and I'll probably say it again after, no matter what happens on Wednesday. It's so weird watching that team now. Just knowing, like, corporate real estate, knowing the state of that area, the NIMBYism, like, even who, like, socioeconomically who their players represent, it's weird. The fact that the students, like, seem to not care, because of course they don't. And a lot of those students don't even want to go to, like, as much as I hated Stanford when we played them back in the day, I do remember there was, like, their commercial was, like, this funky guitar guy, and there was, like, I don't know, Stanford had this commitment to kind of weirdness. What is it now? It's like a commitment to capitalism, straight up. And maybe it always was, and I, like, that was the facade, but, man, it's weird watching them. Anyways, that was a tangent. But when we used to play them, the floor had springs in it. Now, who's to say if that was real or not? But that was the word on the street. And so I can say that whether it was Michael's secret stuff or not, I remember being there as a freshman and being like, holy goddamn. Maybe the rims were low. I don't know. It could have really just been that they had springs on the floor because pregame warmups were crazy. And what this led to was, like, our team especially having so much energy. When we played at Stanford my junior year, this is true. Maybe have I told this story before? I don't know. If you heard this before, just listen again because it's so delightful. And this is in my book, actually. So we're at Stanford my junior year. I'm the leading scorer and rebounder on the team. And Stanford, I don't think – no, they might have been – this might have been their number one in the country season. That's what made this game important. So important that Tiger Woods was sitting mid-court for the game. And, you know, the story could stop here for the context of what I didn't like about the energy of this last game. But, you know, for context, Tiger Woods is sitting at half court. And the place was rocking. And the springs in the floor, all the students knew about it. So they would all jump at once, like when we'd shoot free throws, and the floor would roll, like literally roll like a wave, and it would shake the baskets. And it's crazy because the baskets are attached to the roof at Stanford. They're not attached to the floor. And the baskets would shake. What is this now? And to finish the Tiger Woods story, why it's in the book, sorry, is because, you know, we were down like 10, and I'm like, bro, we got to get something going, and I was the guy. And I remember I scored on like four straight possessions. Not like I had like infinity points or something. I might have had like 8, and after this I had 16, but four straight possessions to bring us to within like 6 or something. I don't remember. And on the fourth one, Tiger looked at me and he was like doing this like nod, like a De Niro like nod, like, who is this? You gonna come here and do this to me? And I was like, yeah, I get hyped. I get hyped. If I had a wife, I'd kiss her right now. Just thinking about that moment. And Cal Stanford at Stanford now, what was that? Like, one of the greatest moments of my life happened in a loss at Stanford. And then what was that? Casey, here's me flipping a loss by us into a loss by the whole city of Palo Alto. Because, yeah. I'm sorry. It's just so hard for me to root for that area. It's so hard for me to root for that team just having gone to Cal. But it's hard for me to root for the idea of a place that would drain its own facilities of culture so much that nobody cares about anything except for consulting for some business one day. Or starting the first ever one-man, one-AI company so that nobody ever has to work for them again. But also, don't not work. Got to keep the system. Yeah, I got to get political. That's, I guess, Berkeley's lean this way a little bit too, not so heavy. But I don't know. When I talk to people, they're like, oh, you went to Berkeley. You're probably real political. You're probably real political. And I tell people, like, yeah, I guess you don't realize Berkeley had a, like, the biggest Republican student group in America, but also I guess they too were political. So yes, I guess it was. And my politics on this matter are Stanford. And let's not forget, the president of Stanford resigned as president. I think he still works there. I don't know. I could be getting some details wrong. Because it came out that his own research was plagiarized or falsified or whatever. And it's like, if we're talking about the head of research at the center of research in the world, then what is anything? Stanford is a shell. Tiger Woods ain't showing up to watch the mix no more. And yeah, Stanford's not number one in the country. And maybe if they were, he'd come back. But I don't know. I'm thinking no. I'm thinking the students still wouldn't show up. I'm thinking the city still wouldn't show up. This is all a big tangent away from the game, but it's actually kind of my biggest takeaway from the game. I mean, outside of the X's and O's, which, you know, if you listen to the video I put up a week or two ago, I said I'm not here for the technical as much as the feeling. And Stanford draws a different feeling out of me. I hate watching us play them, even when we win. I just don't like it. And I went to Torrey Pines High School in San Diego, and it's like Stanford light. I know, like, in the Bay Area, what's the high school? Is it St. Joseph's or something? I don't know. They're really Archbishop Mitty. Mitty? I'm saying that like there's an audience here. Correct me about the high school in the area that's, like, always win state. The reason I even knew about them in high school is because Torrey Pines was always number one or number two in women's volleyball in the state, and Mitty was the same. Meaning they're producing the same, like, socioeconomic output because volleyball is an expensive sport to play at that age. So I just grew up around such a specific thing. And, y'all, I don't know if I've said this, like, as explicitly as I'm about to say it now. Part of why I connected Cal is because I think Cal saved my life. I grew up around all that, and it was confusing, and it was weird. And Mitt Romney's nephew was my high school quarterback and also basketball teammate and the most popular kid in school, and nobody liked me. And then I went to Cal and it was like, there are people like me? And I didn't even just mean black, just people like me. And I don't know about the Cal student body top to bottom. I know the basketball team still reflects people like me. I know when I run into this, like, some of you guys in the streets, some of you young cats at the, you know, when I ran into at the concessions at the arena at Haas Pavilion, people like me. But I watch a game at Stanford or I go to Palo Alto or I meet some guy who just moved to Santa Monica from there. And I'm like, who are you? You're Mitt Romney's nephew, aren't you? I remember you. And I don't dislike you. I just dislike the idea that you have to exist. Or whatever, I don't know. That the head of Stanford research, president, yeah, maybe he did 10,000 things of research, and his only things of research is my scientific knowledge. He did 10,000 units of research, and 6 units were found fraudulent. I don't know if you're supposed to be the best in the world. Why would any? I can tell you this, I played a lot of games of basketball. None of them were fraudulent from my doing. Not one. Although I did try to push those refs. All right, I said I would say some technical stuff about the game, so I will. And my biggest takeaway, man, is like, you know, all of that was about energy, and I actually still think that applies. I don't know where our energy went. There's a lot of places that could go. When I was in school, man, like, we could have bad energy because two people try to talk to the same girl. We could have bad energy because one guy got in trouble for something and we all had to do team conditioning. I don't know. There's a million reasons. We could have bad energy just because it's been a tough couple weeks. Who knows? But we just have bad energy. And, man, like, I've been thinking more and more, like, I wish me and Dawes, I want to sit with him and just have, like, 3 days. Kind of like Pete Newell used to do. I'm not the Pete Newell type who would, like, run a whole, like, let's all go to Hawaii and, like, 1,000 big men. I don't even like coaching like that. I just understand defense so well that I've always been able to teach offense well. Now, towards, like, my prime in my career, I was fantastic on offense, but, you know, it was really a result of me just learning it from the defensive side. I was never known for that early in my career. When I look at Dawes, I'm like, man alive, there's so many things I could tell him about how to exploit defense, especially at the pro level. Because all I'm really seeing is they just don't go to him anymore, like at all. So this game against Stanford was what it was. But, you know, we were still in it at halftime. For the way we play, being at 10 at halftime, I'm sure we all were like, okay, we just got to do X, Y, and Z. We just got to do X, Y, and Z. We scored our 32nd point with like 14 seconds to go in the first half. We didn't score our 34th point until like 16 minutes. So it was like 4 minutes of drought. So by that point, we were down almost 20. That whole offense was like five out. And I'm not saying Dawes was posting up. He was, but he wasn't really getting the ball. And I guess if Jalen Tice isn't cooking or, you know, Jalen Cohn isn't hot, it's just a lot of mid-range jumpers, which is the hardest offensive basketball to play. And I praised our offense because early in the season, our movement was so crazy good. But to me, a lot of that was predicated on Dawes playing out of the low post with the ball in his hands. Now, I'm not saying all of it or even 50%. When I say a lot of it, let's call it 30%. That's enough to open up other things. You know, there was a point in LeBron's career where people get mad at him for shooting jump shots. And I always knew, like, no, even if this is a lower percentage in his other things, if they leave him wide open, he's going to make it. He has to take it when they're close enough so that we all know what he really wants to do is drive. That can open up. In this case, you have to do the thing that might, you know, hey, even if Dawes isn't scoring one-on-one at this time like you'd like him to, if you stop going to him, our whole offense changes, and we're not getting what we want. In this particular game, it was so we scored 32 at 7 seconds, yeah, 34 at 16 minutes. And then Dawes was 38. So Dawes was the 36th point at the 14:48 mark, and it was the first time I saw him touch the ball in the post. And he scored. And here's what's crazy. And I got to give Ben Braun his credit. I got to give Benny B his credit. He said the exact same thing I'm saying now in my first thought. When Dawes caught the ball in the post and scored, it interrupted me thinking, is he never going to post up again? What is this? He posts up, he scores. I believe it's an and one or something. And Ben Braun is like, see, this is what Cal hasn't been doing lately. They haven't been going inside. They got to do more of this. And I'm like, Benny B, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking in the moment. And not only was I thinking in the moment, I think the reason he brought it up is because so was he. And because it was top of mind when he scored. We were both thinking it as it happened. There's a lot of takeaways, but, you know, the same way I could have analyzed, like, do players have the right foot speed? And that was the wrong thing. I can't really analyze much more about our games recently until we can figure out how Dawes can become the offensive stalwart he was early in our season. And I stuttered on that to say the word stalwart because I didn't mean to say like dominant, like I don't care if he scores 30. Like in the EuroLeague, I played against this dude named Pekovic. I forget his first name. Nikola Pekovic, maybe. And he went to Minnesota, you know, a couple years later and played in the NBA. He might still be in the NBA. I don't know. Bro, I was like 201 pounds. And the reason I have to say one is because they measured in kilograms. And they were like, oh, it was just 97. It's come up or whatever it was. Where I'm like, bro, what are we doing? And Pekovic was like, he was like 6'11". No, let me stick in the metrics. He was like 210 centimeters and like 120 kgs. So I was just getting pushed around, bruh. Muscled out of the area. Dominated. They were ready to like fire me after this game. He played for, I want to say, Panathinaikos. They wanted to fire me. Pekovic's numbers at the end of the game, 12-8. When I'm using that as an example of projecting Dawes at the next level. You don't need to score 30. But they ran every play through this man, Pekovic, when I was in France. It put so much pressure on me. Yeah, he finished at 12-8, but we had to send doubles. They had to stun at him, and he was a good passer. His experience, he's at that level. He made all the right plays. His teammates were good. We lost the game by like 8. So in an NBA world, you'd be like, they lost by 8. His man scored 12. It wasn't Benson's fault. No. In the EuroLeague, they know all that's some BS. And me sitting here today, I know that's all some BS. The way that man pressured me just by them running the offense through him made everything. They won that game because I couldn't handle Pekovic. 12 points. That's a long side story. It's a night of long side stories, but that's okay. Because I really don't want to get too much into the other things like I keep saying. If we don't give the ball to Dawes in the post with frequency, and if he can't find a way to score with some efficacy, we're just not going to win. Our team was built around that. Our offense, when it was smooth, was built around that. And our energy has really faltered since then. And yes, some of that falls on Dawes. And again, I don't know what is going on with him. Confidence is weird in the game of basketball. He's just not going to his offhand as much as I like to see. I refrain from saying that because, you know, I don't like to give the other team a scouting report. But at this point, he's just not. But I know that he has it because I saw him do it early in the season. So that's why it's not like criticism. It's more as like slightly tough love. Like, you got all these tools. I don't know where you're hiding them at. But it's time to bring him back out. And if the Cal offense runs through him, we might see more consistency. In fact, we were winning games when he still wasn't doing this. We might see an explosion. Or we might see the last game of the season. And that's an important thing to note. Because after that, he'll go into the wilderness. And I'm going to do a bunch of stuff at the Pac-12 tournament. Hopefully interviews, blogs, all sorts of stuff, podcasts, whatever. And I'll wrap this up then. But I'm going to take the time to say it now while it's top of mind. Some guys are going to leave here. Some only spent 1 year here, whatever. In my mind, it's for life. You had your senior night with us. I'm rocking with you. And I don't want any of us to forget these people. You don't forget them 3 weeks from now. Of course not. You don't forget them 2 months from now. It's like 2 years from now when life has hit you hard and you just haven't thought about what that connection means in that way. You're looking for solace and a new source of whatever, and there's a new team. Great. There's a quote that I heard recently that we tend to think of things by like a date. Like, man, the date the season's over, we got to do this. Or the date the season starts, we got to do this. Like, and the quote was like, no, you got to realize this is a forever thing. Cal saved my life. This is a forever thing. Every day, I will think about Dawes in some respect, and if he ever reaches out, I'll try to help him. And I hope one day vice versa. Or that I won't need it. Either way, all right, It was rambly, but again, I was trying to avoid the dark train. We like to stay in the light as much as possible. And further, we're going to Vegas, baby, Vegas. Let your money and you don't even know it. That's a reference I specifically said so that my millennial homies would be like, Rod's a cool guy. And the young kids would be like, I guess. I'll see you in Vegas. Holla at your boy. Peace.